Turn in your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 3. I spoke last Sunday on Christmas Day, a Christmas message, and I'm speaking today a New Year's message. And then soon I'll get back to a series on expository preaching. Philippians 3 and verse number 4. I'll read a rather lengthy passage beginning with verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul said he was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul shares how he is pursuing life as a person who believed in God. In his early days, he pursued becoming a Pharisee of the Hebrews religion. He gave himself totally to it. He was a well-respected leader among the Jewish people. He achieved a high level of success as a Pharisee. He was carrying letters of importance and authority to persecute the church and put those who had converted to Christianity into prison for their faith. But he met Christ on the road to Damascus, and all that past that he had worked so hard for became nothing to him, that he might now pursue the Lord Jesus Christ and become like him. 2017 is upon us already. And I remind the church today of our need to have a pursuit to be spiritual people. Those people that God would have us to be. To pursue that with what it takes in order to become the perfect man or the complete person that God would have us to reach, that level of spiritual maturity, that we might honor Him and serve Him and please Him and be usable of God to accomplish the work He has for us to do. So the pursuit of becoming a spiritual man. There are things we must leave behind. There are goals that we must set for ourselves to pursue. Paul outlines a simple threefold plan that applies to us for the new year. This passage really lends itself to the pursuit of a goal of pursuit. It lends itself to a new year message. Before we can institute this threefold plan, we first of all have to see that we have a need for it. If we are satisfied as we are, we won't do anything to pursue a greater aspect of spirituality. Too many people are satisfied where they are. This is a problem area we have to overcome. I must become somehow dissatisfied with myself in order to pursue improving myself. I have a desire to dedicate ourselves to the fulfilling of Christ's purpose. This is a second problem area. It takes commitment. It takes dedication. It takes, if we're going to do more for God, we've got to do less for something else. We've got to remove something in our schedule to put more time into serving the Lord. That's a difficulty. That's a problem area. But it requires the heart that desires to serve God and is willing to begin the pursuit, and God will make the way for you. God doesn't miraculously change time for us, but it seems that way. When you really dedicate yourself to God and you need the time to get things done, God will make a way that they get done. We have to admit that we're not putting forth all the effort that either we used to or that we should, some may never have, to obtain the spiritual place that God would have us to be. I'm asking you all to join me when the invitation time is given today with a prayer that we would institute this threefold plan that Paul lays out for 2017 for Bible Baptist Church. This could be my last year. This could be your last year. This could be someone else's last year that we need to reach. You can reach people I'll never meet. I might reach someone you'll never meet. God lets us rub shoulders with people to be an influence for Christ. And there's somebody out there that this is the last year that they're going to have. And we need to face a new year with that expectation that we need to do all we can to fill up our ministry, as God told Paul. Like the filling up of a sack, you shake it down and you pour some more in and you shake it down. I bought some sale coffee the other day. It was Maxwell House coffee on sale, and I bought a can of it. And I got one of those larger Maxwell House Master Blend plastic containers. And I had a little bit left, and I poured the other into it. Well, it has air in it, so it fills up quicker, but you shake it down a little bit, and it'll go down that far, and you put a little more in. Well, our ministries are like that. We might have been accomplishing some, but if we shake it down, there's a lot more we can do if we'll put forth the effort. So first of all, beginning verse 13 and 14, Paul spoke about forgetting the past. Secondly, he spoke about reaching forth unto those things which are before us, the having a goal in mind that we are pursuing. And thirdly, what it takes to fulfill that, the pressing toward the mark or the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The place of spiritual maturity that God would have us to be takes a lifelong pursuit. We can't get satisfied. We can't get apathetic. There's always going to be lost people around us that need to be saved. There's always going to be a need for missions. There's always going to be a need for us to study the Bible and to grow spiritually, because if we don't, we'll be like so many that have fallen by the wayside who stopped coming to church. And the reason they stopped coming to church was, first, they stopped reading their Bible, and they stopped spending time in prayer, and they stopped being a witness for Christ. And the next thing you know, they're making all kinds of excuses about why they can't come to church anymore. First of all, it takes forgetting the past. 2016 is an outdated calendar that you can buy for a dime now. It's of no use. It's gone. It's in the past. Main things that we have faced in 2016 are either accomplishments or failures, and we often need to forget them both, because failures will limit us and discourage us when God would have us to confess our sin to Him. He's willing to forgive us and to cleanse us and to remove it from us so that it will never be remembered again. So we don't need to be remembering it. We don't need to be discouraged by it. We need to have the old adage to get back up on the horse and go farther the next time than you did the last time. We've got to put the past of failures behind us and pursue the spiritual job that God would have us to do. Secondly, there are accomplishments, successes. And you sit around reminiscing with older folks, we talk about what we used to do. We talk about what We accomplished. We talked about successes. We boast about ourselves a little bit. And we tell about how we once accomplished this or we once did that. And the truth of the matter is we still need to be pursuing the spiritual man that we ought to be. And so we have to forget about some of our successes as well. We need to have a thankful attitude as we face this new year that we are what we are and we have what we have and we're where we are in life and that God wants to use us for His own honor and glory. Amen. We need to forget our failures. Don't allow them to limit us, discourage us. Well, I tried that one time and I failed. Okay, try again. You see, if failure discourages you, you'll quit. And God would never have you to quit. He would have you to pursue over and over again. We have to take an honest evaluation of ourselves to see where we are spiritually so that we can know we need to pursue growth in some new way. Examine ourselves, 1 Corinthians said, and judge ourselves lest we be judged. In other words, if we confess our sin and we forsake our sin, then God is willing to forgive us and He'll remove it from us. And we don't have to have the problem of it discouraging us. And if we don't judge ourselves, then we're going to face chastening if we're continuing in sin. Thomas Edison is one of the famous people in the world who accomplished a lot of things but failed in his laboratory over and over and over again. And Edison said that he wasn't failing, he was just finding ways that things wouldn't work until one day he found the way that it would. He never quit. You know the names Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle, Hank Aaron, Roger Maris? All of these guys hold some record in home run hitting in baseball. The American pastime. Even if you don't sit and watch baseball, I bet you know those names. Did you know that they are known for home run hitting, but every one of them struck out more times than they hit home runs? They didn't let that discourage them because an average was what they were looking for, to have a good average. If they had an average of 400, that's tremendous in baseball. And so they could strike out several times as long as they hit that long ball every once in a while and knocked it out of the park. The truth is, they failed more often than they succeeded, but they had to fail in order to get to the place they could succeed. And that may be true with you and I. We get discouraged when we fail. We attempt to put aside some habit or sin or thing that's hindering us, and we fail in it, and we go back to it, and we do it again, and we get discouraged, and then we give up trying. You see, it's Satan that will rest that little angel on your shoulder and talk in your ear and say, "Oh, you can't do that. You've tried it before. You ought to just quit. No, you're going to be ashamed. People are going to make fun of you." All that sort of thing, those thoughts that come through your mind. God's Word would encourage you and say, don't listen to that and forget the past and put a fresh face on and a new goal of pursuit for Christ-likeness in your life. Some need to get over the past because of bitterness. I've been around some people that are bitter for all kinds of reasons, and bitterness will eat you like a cancer. Some folks go through divorce, and it is natural. They may have anger, and they get upset, and they have blame for themselves or for the other person. But listen, don't get bitter. If you get bitter, you're not hurting anybody else, you're hurting yourself. A bitter person will never be a good witness for Christ. A bitter person will never set an example for others to follow. You'll get to the place if you're a complainer and a murmurer and bitter about things. People will avoid even being around you because they really get discouraged to listen to that kind of talk. You must forget the past of bitterness. We must forget the past of failures that haunt us. Families divided, divorces, job careers lost, church troubles that's happened in the past. Those are all things that have happened to a lot of people. There have been a lot of hurt, but you got to put it aside. You got to go on. You got to get a fresh start. You got to have forgiveness. You got to pursue not remembering those things that discourage you. Some need to forget past success. Once upon a time, some folks taught Sunday school or a master club, or they worked in the church in some way, and they quickly tell folks, yeah, I used to do that, you know, and, well, do it again. There's still the need. The need is greater today than it's ever been before because of the population of the world growing. There's a whole new crop of people coming along that need your ministry and your effort for God. Some would say, I'm too old. I've already served my time. My mom said that. She said, got a cousin come by to pick up some old suits of my dad's after my dad passed. And I said, oh, you had your boyfriend up there at the house, didn't you? I said, are you looking for a fella? She said, I've served my time. Thank you very much. Like she'd been in prison or something. You know? You remember Colonel Sanders? Did you know he started frying chicken for a restaurant when he was 65 years old? And then developed that secret recipe to become the KFC that we know today. He didn't get started in that business until he was 65. He failed at some things and he was discouraged. He said, I don't know how to do anything but cook. So he started cooking. Dr. Tom Malone up in Pontiac, Michigan built a tremendous church, over 1,000 people, a Bible college. Great success for God. Hundreds of missionaries supported, thousands of people saved and baptized. And if you knew him, you know he was believed by others to be like a prince of preachers. He could preach sermons motivating and informing to the point that conferences sought him for years and years to come and be one of the main speakers at their conference because folks liked to hear him and they would go to meetings just so they get a chance to hear him preach. He got his PhD when he was 65 years old. He didn't quit learning and studying. He kept pursuing a goal that he set for himself. We have to forget the hurts and the unfulfilled expectations. Do you know unfulfilled expectations cause more problems than you can imagine? It is where folks think they deserve something or think people ought to treat them in a certain way, and they imagine these things. They have an expectation of something. Then if it doesn't fulfill, they get angry, they get hurt, they get discouraged, and they withdraw themselves from others. Many people withdraw themselves from church when they're going through a bad time, and church is the very place they need to be. Amen. Where they could get encouraged, where they could get comfort, they could get fellowship. They could get a Christian brother or sister to come alongside and put their arm around them and say, I have experienced hurt and failure also. And I'm here to pray for you and be with you and help you as you go through this difficulty. I had all the ideas when I was 17 years of age. One of these days I was going to be rich. And I was going to own a big home. And I was going to drive a big automobile. And I was going to smoke a big cigar. I heard a preacher say one time when he dies and goes to heaven, if he finds out it wasn't a sin to smoke cigars, he's going to kill that preacher that told him that. You know? Well, I haven't been a success as far as the business world is concerned, but my goal now is to become a success for Jesus Christ. Amen. Not concerned about the business world. Secondly, not only forgetting the past, but reaching forth is vitally important. Turn your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 13. And I'll turn there and read rather quickly if you want to just listen. Luke 13 and verse 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit therein and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Why does it take up space? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, fertilize it, in other words. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. You see, we are the fruit-bearing people of God. I won't take time to turn and read it, but in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 1 through 7, God tells a story through Isaiah the same way he told this parable about the nation of Israel is that fruit tree that God demanded fruit from them, and they bore no fruit. And he said they are his vineyard, and he'll tear down the hedge from around them. And he'll break down the walls, and he'll stop the rain, and they will receive the chastening because they didn't bear fruit for him. Jesus cursed the fig tree in Matthew 21, verse 18 through 20, when he walked by it, and it had leaves making the appearance that it had fruit, but it had none on it. And the Lord cursed it, and that very day it withered up and died, and the disciples were amazed at how rapidly the tree had died. I want to ask you today, are you bearing fruit for the Lord? How long has it been since you bore what you can really see is fruit for God? 3 years on this particular tree, and he's going to give it one more opportunity. Do you know God chastens believers quite often, giving them another opportunity for a new start, a new beginning, a fresh way to pursue his will? And today is a golden opportunity for that as we face a new year, 2017. I keep saying that because I've got to remember to write it on the checks. We have to reach forth unto what lies ahead. We're not supposed to just float along with society like a dead fish on the stream. We're not rafts that go where we're going by floating with the current. We are to swim against the stream, like the fish that have to swim way upstream to lay their eggs where they were born, and they go through all kinds of adversity, and not all of them make it. But they pursue doing what they have been raised to do. We have a new year. A lot of people made resolutions last night, especially in the bars. They're big on that, making New Year's resolutions, watching the ball come down. I didn't watch the ball, but I couldn't go to sleep because of the fireworks. Kept boom, boom, my windows were rattling, you know, about fireworks going on. Well, two main things that people will make New Year's resolutions about is quit smoking and lose weight. That's the two main things. A lot of people join a gym this next week, and they'll go every day for the month of January. February, they'll start slacking off a little bit. In March, they'll quit. Happens over and over and over. I'm one of them who's done it. And I'm getting back in the gym tomorrow. You know why? I get a free gym membership. I have Humana as a supplement, so they have that silver sneakers. Gold's Gym on Cherry Road gives a free prime membership to the silver sneakers. So I'm going to Gold's Gym starting this week. Many New Year's resolutions fall by the wayside pretty rapidly. Some of them are made very sincere by people, but they don't really set themselves up to succeed. They set themselves up to fail. They don't make the time. They don't prepare for the opportunity. They don't pursue with a sincere vigor. If you're going to do more for God, you're going to have to do less for something else because your schedule is already full. Resolve to pray more, read our Bible more, or witness more. It's going to take some time. We've got to prepare for that. The best way to add something, I heard Dr. Leslie at Riverview Medical Center has written a number of books. Now, they're not earth-shattering. They're stuff like stories Corman and medics and ambulance drivers have told him over the years. He put this last book, that's what that is. I heard him on the radio explaining that. And they said, how do you find time to write? He said, well, I used to be on the night shift at the clinic. And he said, you know, it'd get times where there'd be nobody coming in at night. And he said, I'd sit down and write. And he said, now I'm on a day shift. So he said, I get up earlier in the morning. And that's when I do a couple of hours work before I go to work every day. When I was pursuing a graduate level degrees through correspondence, I did the same thing. I would start at 5, 5:30 in the morning, and I'd work for 2 to 3 hours, and then I'd come into the office and do my duties all day. It takes finding an opportunity. Somebody said you got to fasten your seatbelt 14 times when you get in the car. And you'll be in a habit to do it every time from then on. It'll be a natural thing you'll do. And I know that works because I don't know how many times I have started toward the church going somewhere else and then get about halfway through the church and said, oh no, I was going to the hospital. I'm not coming to the church. You know, and I have to turn around and go back. Why? Because I'm in a habit. That's what I do every day. I get up and drive over here, so I'm used to doing it. I fasten my seatbelt before I get out on the highway. Now, I'm in a bad habit of that. I don't fasten it immediately when I get in the car. A lot of times, I crank the car up, put it in gear, start down the driveway, and then I fasten my seatbelt because I live on a dirt road, you know. Captain Brown did that one day, and a young city cop gave him a ticket. He saw him button his seatbelt after he was driving. He didn't know he was the captain over a section of the police department, and he didn't reveal it to him. He just went ahead and took the ticket and paid the ticket. We have to have a sincere relying upon the Holy Spirit in order to pursue anything more for God, because we cannot do it in the energy of the flesh. It is not the power there for us to be able to do it. Some say, well, I read my Bible through 1 year. The whole Bible. That's wonderful. Do it again. Start again. You don't quit eating because you ate three meals one day. You have to keep eating, and you have to keep reading and studying the Word. And you can add to the reading by doing some study as well as reading. Brother Gary, the Psalms I read this morning in my devotion was the Psalm you quoted a few moments ago from Psalm 92. When this church started, we didn't start as a split. We didn't have a congregation that was ready made. We just started knocking on doors and inviting people to come. We didn't have anybody but our family to start with. And so I would come home from work every day at Duke Power on the nuclear plant, and I would skip supper and go out and knock doors, and I lost about 25 pounds real quick. I probably need to do that again. I preached one day, I said, I'm in boot camp in the Marine Corps. I lost 48 pounds in boot camp. Somebody said, you need to go back to boot camp. Some folks skip supper on Wednesday night so they can make it to church prayer meeting. You see, they have a goal, and they're pursuing that goal, and they're not going to let something else get in the way, even if it means making a sacrifice in order to accomplish it. We've got people that would say, I've never been to Sunday school. Or I came one time and my back hurt sitting 2 hours, so I just not going. We had a lady who used to come to church a long time ago. She ain't been here many, 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 many years. And we asked her about coming. She said, I just can't sit in that pew. I said, that's odd. You sit 4 or 5 hours a week in bleachers watching your kids play ball with the sports leagues that they're involved with. You see, we do what we want to do. We do what we see is important. We do what we plan to do. We do what is important by avoiding other things, even sacrificing other things to accomplish what we really want to do. Reaching forth takes an effort. And then pressing toward the goal. The racers call that the final kick, the last lap. They have to save some energy for that final push to win the race. The runner breaks the tape and wins the prize. The racer sees the checkered flag flying and he knows he's won first place. The person playing football crosses the goal and they've made a great accomplishment. They used to let them spike the ball and do all kind of dances in the end zone, and it finally got to where they were getting so fanatic about that, they stop them from doing that celebration. Now if they do too much, they'll throw a flag and charge them with yards as a penalty because of over-celebrating when they scored a touchdown. I'd want to do some celebration if I scored a touchdown too. It takes something. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 that we pursue the Christian life like a runner pursues a secular thing. They try to win a temporary crown. We are pursuing an eternal crown that will come from God. We have to have the mind of pursuit in our mind. We might fail sometimes. We might get sidetracked. We might pause sometimes. We might let ourselves slip back a little bit in our pursuit, but we got a brand new opportunity to clean the table and start anew and afresh and plan something for 2017, a pursuit to spiritual maturity. Thomas Edison wrote that he failed 999 times before finding the way to make a light bulb. When he was pursuing his inventions, he would sleep in a chair and he would hold a bell. And when he fell asleep and the bell fell down, he'd get back up and work for a while. And there were times he would do that for 6 to 8 weeks at a time, never leaving his laboratory. He finally found the way. Each piece of metal hooked to electricity would burn in two. He kept trying different types of metal, and finally he created a vacuum where oxygen couldn't get to it. And then eventually they found that tungsten would burn in that vacuum and create the light bulbs that we have enjoyed for all these years as incandescent bulbs, until now the fluorescent and the LEDs are taking their place. He sacrificed everything. You fall, you press, you get discouraged. Listen, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 24, 16, a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. It warns the wicked about breaking into the home of a righteous man, because the righteous man falleth 7 times and rises up again, but the evil man's way will lead to destruction. We've got to put Christ on the top of our list for 2017 to serve Him and live for Him and please Him with our lives, that in all things He might have the preeminence. We've got to reach forth last of all. Forget the past, we can't change it anyway. By faith we can attempt to do something for God. And if we do it with a sincere heart and we do it God's way, then there's no reason that God can't bless us and allow us to accomplishment. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The starting gun sounded last night at 12:01. This is a new Sunday, a new week, a new year, and a new opportunity for us to accomplish more for God. We need to run with endurance, but we also need to enjoy the journey while we're running. Some of you have overcome great obstacles, physical problems, tragedies in your family. Some of you have accomplished graduate degrees to be able to do greater works. Some have gone back to school or retrained for a new career, or they've built their own home, or they've paid off their home, or they've established a business, or they've mastered learning computers they didn't think they'd ever have anything to do with. I even gave up my flip phone. I don't know how to use this iPhone very well, but I've got one and I can text, and I know how to use it a little bit now. Say, you boy, you're old to start that. Yes, I am. But I'm not too old to learn, and I'm not too old to quit serving God. I need to serve the Lord. Amen. And I need to pursue what it takes. I've lost a little. I start this year out 35 pounds lighter than I started last year out.
Amen.
And after losing 30 pounds, my blood sugar went up and my cholesterol went up 6 months ago. So I pursued what I was eating, watched a little bit more. This past week I went back to the doctor for my 6 month checkup, and my blood sugar came down from A1C to from 8 down to 7 even. So it dropped a whole point. 7 is a, you know, within the range that you're okay. They'd like it down into the 6s. And my cholesterol was high. That's like 225. It's come down from what it was. So I'm headed in the right direction. I'm pursuing. And if I go back to the gym tomorrow, I hopefully can continue in the progress that's been made. We can do anything that God wants us to do if we set our mind to it and we pursue it and we seek His help and do it with the spiritual help of God. We can accomplish anything. It takes starting with a commitment that needs to be sincere, and it takes planning for allowing time to do what we need to do. The best way to serve God in the beginning is to start your day. Get up a few minutes early in the morning. Wash your face, drink a cup of coffee if you have to, and give God the first minutes of your day. And then give God the first day of the week, which is Sunday. It's not my day to do anything I want to with. I belong to God. This is His day. I've got to serve Him today. And then give Christ first place in your life and your love, and you'll accomplish great things for God. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people. We ask you now to bless this invitation. Make it what you would have it to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.